If you'll be so kind as to go to Luke 2, Luke 2, verses 25 through 38. I think it's important, and we need to take note, as I think about football right now and the coaches and the offensive and all that, they're watching every move. And I think it's important that we as God's children who know that He's coming back for us watch every move. And part of us, part of the strategy for our life, for Dennis, to know every move and to be on guard against Satan and the wiles and the temptations of this world that we're passing through, is to take note of all the good plays in God's handbook. And in God's handbook, we've got some great examples from God's, from God, people that God has brought out who are people just like you and myself. But He has said, take note, Dennis, take note. So tonight, I challenge you, as the Holy Spirit has challenged me, for you to take note of two characters that are really unsung of and skimmed over during the Christmas season. So if you'll be so kind as to stand with your love letters, God's Word, open to Luke 2, we'll start reading in verse 25. Luke 2, verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit unto the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Christ to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marvel at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, and she of great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day, and she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Let's pause 1 minute. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity. I pray that we will put football, that we'll put Christmas, all the things that distract us from listening to your word aside these next few moments. I pray that we will see and examine these two lives that we see in Luke 2 that you've penned, that you've taken note of, and that we, Heavenly Father, will learn and practice and mold and shape our character so that our love is for you first and foremost, and we'll be diligent about our walk with you, Heavenly Father, so that this Christmas season will start the beginning, and this time next year we will be completely different people, more in love with you than ever, more in love with Jesus, Heavenly Father, more determined to be that light, that shining light to a darkened world. We love you and thank you for all you're going to do, all you have done, Heavenly Father, and all you'll do these next few moments. We love you and thank you in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray these things. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes prayer is prayer. Sometimes directions are difficult to take. And am I the only one? I just don't like people to tell me what to do. Is that kind of just a man thing? I think that we're all like that. So there was this preacher and his wife, and they were in a hurry to get to this country church, and they kind of got sidetracked. And so, husbands, you can associate with me very well in this. He was told, you should have turned back there. That's what we were told to do. I know where I'm going. And they blazed the trail, and they kept going through these cornfields and pastures. And finally, he said, you know, I think that we should have turned around back there. So finally, she wasn't saying anything, and they get on the right track, and they're almost at the church. And they come over this hill, and there's a donkey way out in the field. And to break the ice, he looks over there and looks at his wife and said, could that be one of your relatives? She said, yes, by marriage. So, when it comes to directions, I encourage you, God has given us all we need. And we need to adhere to the Word of God. So this evening, and I'll try to make it brief because I know some of you have some other things that you're anticipating, I'd like to share with you these two characters in Luke 2. And part of the Christmas season, part of what we're experiencing, deals from childhood through the ages is anticipation, is it not? Anticipating what the children will say, anticipating what the wife will say, anticipating the day. And so anticipation. So anticipation is to look forward to expect, to foresee, to perform in advance, to use or enjoy in advance. So to look forward to or anticipation, look, the term used to describe the action of Simeon is prosdekamai. Dekamai meaning to wait, pros meaning forward. Combine them and you have the graphic picture of one waiting forwardly. Simeon was waiting, not demanding, not hurrying. He was waiting. And you and I need to learn to wait on the Lord. You and I need to learn this prodecimus. He was waiting with anticipation, calmly expecting, eyes open, arms extension, searching the crowd for the right face and hoping the face appears today. Now let me ask you, do we anticipate the coming back for us by Christ in this like manner? Are we looking, waiting, expecting? Are we prosdekamai? Do we anticipate the Lord coming back for us? Do we? Do we anticipate He can come back any day, any moment, true or false? True. There's nothing in the Bible by prophecy that is hindering Him from coming. Does Dennis Hollingsworth wake up every day with the focus, He may come today? Dennis, stay clean. Dennis, ask forgiveness when you slip. Dennis, you better stay close because today He may come back. You see, this character that we're looking at was promised by God that he would not die until he's looked in the face of God. Wow, what a promise. Now, let me ask you, what do promises by God do to people? They should change people. Should they not? Well, then let me ask you, what's wrong with us? Has He not given us promises? He has. But we get so caught up in the worldly things that we are not searching every face as we walk through the village. And that was the anticipation that Simeon had. Yes, he was getting up in age. Yes, he knew and he stood on God's promise. But he was not going to miss out. He was going to stay prepared. He was going to look in every face until he saw the face that God had promised him, because he knew that God kept his promises. You and I know that God keeps his promises. And you and I know and believe and we're looking for him to come back and the trumpet to blow. And at the twinkling of an eye, every grave's going to rise and he's going to put everything together. And it's none of our business how, because we need to just back off sometimes and let God be God. But we also need to anticipate his second coming. We need to anticipate his second coming, whether Dennis meets him through the grave, or whether Dennis meets him splitting the sky at 35,000 feet and climbing, Dennis's anticipation should not diminish. Did you hear what I'm saying? Simeon's anticipation did not diminish. You see, the people of Israel had anticipated the coming of a Redeemer. Rescues for centuries. Since the fall of our first parents in Eden's garden, there was a longing for the promised one or seed of the woman who would come and crush our spiritual enemy. We find over in Genesis 3:15, all of this points back to Genesis, and it starts just as early as 3:15, where we find these words. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise the head and thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Mankind is looking for the Redeemer. Mankind is looking for the answer. So, therefore, through time, Old Testament singers, sages, prophets, priests, kings, generals spoke of the Messiah who would come and deliver God's people. They waited, and some, unfortunately, are still waiting. Then an angelic messenger brought news to an engaged couple in the little village of Nazareth that the time of waiting was over. The announcement launched Mary and Joseph into 9 months of their own personal anticipation. People are still waiting, and this happened this past Thursday or Friday as I was preparing in anticipation. And I call him the rabbi. I have a friend of the Jewish faith who's very traditional. He's a practicing Jew. He's very interesting to sit down and talk with, and I've known him all of my life. And he sits on a porch, and sometimes when I'm exercising, I go by and I'll see him. And if he waves, usually I'm in a hurry, if he waves, I need to at least go say hi, and I call him Rabbi. I go by and say hi to the Rabbi, and we exchange. Sometimes we'll exchange our faith. Usually, if he's not looking, I try to slip by because it's hard to get away from him. But this past week, it was like God said, "He's there." And he does this, and I run up. "How are you doing, Rabbi?" "I'm doing good." He said, "I want to tell you one thing." He knows the seasons of life are over. He said, "Dennis, you know I'm 91. "Yes, I know, Rabbi." He said, "You know, I lost Rita 2 years ago." I said, "Yes." I said, "I was there." He said, "I know you were there." He said, "You even put on a skull cap for me." See, so he's that sharp. He said, "But I'm concerned, and will you pray that I get over it? What do you want me to pray about?" Now, here's an elder, he could probably be a rabbi, asking this redneck Gentile to pray. I thought, wow, this is dynamic. He said, "I want you to pray that I will be good enough." I said, "But Rabbi, there was only one who was good enough." And he looked at me, and I could just see him studying. And I said, "And my prayer to him is that he will deal with you and give you the peace you need." Because I said, "You know, your heritage, you're the chosen people. My heritage, because of your people, we're forgiven, and you need to catch it." Oh, he said, "Come back. Come back." Anticipation. Here is a man who's anticipating doing good to get to see his late wife. He's anticipating, "What must I do?" You and I should anticipate. It's done for us. Our anticipation should be great. Our anticipation should just excel so that we can't do without telling people of what Jesus Christ means to us. We can't wait to tell people, "Listen, the Messiah has come. There's no longer what you can do. It's all been done. It was done on the cross 2,000 years ago. It was done by that babe." And I challenge you tonight, is the babe out of the manger? Have you in your life taken the babe out of the manger, and is he on the cross, and you've accepted that, and he was in the ground for you, and he went to the depths of Hades for you? I have to apply my sins there for me, and he was resurrected, and he's taken the sting out of death. Do you understand that? And then we need to start living that. Then you and I need to quit living defeated lives. If you've had a time and a place, and you have a changed life, and you've asked Jesus Christ to save you, then brothers and sisters in Christ, let's get excited about what we have. We have the real thing, and don't let the devil beat you up and tell you that you're no good. I know I'm not any good, but Christ is all the good that I need, and Christ covers everything that Dennis has done. See, so therefore we need to anticipate what is in store. Wow. You know, I don't think that our minds can take what's in store. Do you, Brother Terry? I don't think that we can't even comprehend. So therefore he can't pin it. And he won't allow man to pin it, because we just don't know what the anticipation should be. Meanwhile, in Jerusalem, these two elderly, unassuming people also anticipated the birth of the king. One was a man, the other a woman. One had received a promise that he would personally see the Christ in his own lifetime. The other was a widow who had spent many years in the humble service of God, ready to respond to whatever opportunity God brought her way. Did you hear what I said? Ready to respond to whatever opportunity God brought her way. So I want to ask you, are you ready to respond to whatever God brings your way? Are you ready to respond? And we're going to talk about Anna in just a moment. And she had reasons to say, oh me, oh my, there's just no hope for me. No, but she turned all of that energy and all of the resources available to her to serve in her God. And God blessed her because of this. And she never gave up. Decade after decade, day after day, hour after hour, serving her God without letting the world drag her down when all was against her by man's standards. She still served her God. And sometimes we just look for, we don't have to look too hard a reason. Dennis just doesn't have to think too hard to make excuses not to come to God's house. And I think that we miss out on more blessings. I think we miss out on the blessings. What if Anna said, no, today, you know, I am 84 plus. I don't have anyone to go to drive me down to the Social Security office to pick up my check, to go get my Meals on Wheels. I'm all alone and I have been alone. I'm 84 years old. I'm a widow. I don't have children. I'm here by myself. I don't have any need to get out in this weather and go down to the temple. No. I bet, Dr. Terry, I bet she did not miss an opportunity when the temple was open to serve her God. What a testimony. And guess what? She was rewarded, was she not? The Bible says she was, so she was rewarded. So do you possess a life of devotion? A life of devotion demands more. Why? It demands everything. It has to do with staying by the stuff, buckling in for the long haul, and running all the way to the finish line. Don't give in. It has to do with dying to self, loving the unlovely, turning the cheek, forgiving 7 times 70. It goes on and on and on. And then the world sees that there's a difference. But we are so indoctrinated by having it our way, by being in love with this world, that we respond and we start acting and we start moving and we start flowing with the world. And then people question our faith and start questioning our God, the only God. And then people say, well, if that's the way Christians act like that, heathen Dennis, I don't want anything to do with them. And then we wonder why we have to have all kind of cute marketing tools to get people to come to church. God forgive us. When we should simply anticipate what's in store for us, stand on the promises of these two people like these two people did, and just back off and let God be God in our lives. That's what we need to do. So the Christmas story involves two such people who lived lives of devotion, as we find in Simeon and Anna. Simeon, now in his advancing years, had been a fixture at the temple in Jerusalem for longer than anyone could remember, but he kept showing up, honoring his God, waiting for the promise. His devotion was captured by Luke with only a few words. Dr. Luke was very astute. Dr. Luke did not miss out on anything. Dr. Luke said in verse 25, "Then behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." Just or righteous is a person who is upright, virtuous, keeping the commands of God, one who is committed to living life on God's terms instead of his own terms, and one who deals appropriately and fairly with people. Can that be added to your name? So-and-so is just. So-and-so is devout, a word which speaks of a person who reverenced God and allows that reverence to impact his or her life and their choices. A person who is consumed with honoring God. Is your life devout? Or looking for the consolation of Israel? Are you looking for the consolation of Israel? Are you looking for the second coming? Do you anticipate him to blow the horn? Do you anticipate being raptured up today? You see, this is reference to the Messiah. Simeon was living his life based on this anticipation, looking for Remember that word I gave you, anticipating, exercising, living as though something, as though it's going to happen. And in fact, in their mind, it is happening anytime, any moment, so they're going to be prepared. Looking for the Messiah, while many people, especially senior citizens, appear to be consumed with the past, Simeon, who is a senior citizen, was fixated on the future. We all need to fixate on the future, because the future is what holds our Lord. And the future is what it's all about. And then Simeon had the Holy Spirit was upon him. This is interesting because this was before Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came. Remember? But we find the Holy Spirit was upon him. That was in verse 25. Until the Holy Spirit came to indwell believers at Pentecost in Acts 2, the Spirit's role was largely in the background. And the Spirit's filling of an individual in this way is a New Testament phenomenon that was being experienced by a man living prior to the cross. So I want to ask you, is the Holy Spirit in you? Is the Holy Spirit upon you? Is the Holy Spirit indwelling in you? And the only way that you can answer that, the only way that you know is do you have a personal relationship with Him? And I was speaking with someone today and about God things and how God just puts people and things together, and it's just miraculous. And if you're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, He can't use you. You can't see this in your life. So I trust you're righteous, devout, looking for the consolation, looking for the second coming, and that the Holy Spirit is upon you. Now imagine a white-headed wizard fellow looking on the streets and up and down the streets of Jerusalem. The people in the market call his name. Hey, Simeon. Hey, oh man, how are you doing? And he waves, but he doesn't stop. Neighbors greet him, and he returns the greeting, but doesn't pause. Friends chat on the corner, and he smiles, but doesn't stop. He has a place to be, and he hasn't time to lose. Simeon, the man who knew how to wait for the arrival of Christ, the way he waited for the first coming is a model of how we should wait for the second coming. Simeon's one incredible moment occurs 8 days after the birth of Jesus. It's the day of a sacrifice, a day of the circumcision, a day of dedication. But for Simeon, it's the day of celebration when he looks God in the face and he takes God. He says, God, I have waited. Now I can rest in peace. What a scene. What a scene. But you know what I fear? I fear so many people miss the Messiah, and it's documented in the history that we read in God's Word. So many missed it after miracles, after the rising of the dead, after the calming of the storms. Don't you know that the banners and the Jerusalem Gazette and all that was going on and all the news that was spreading, don't you wonder, as I wonder, why did so many people miss the Messiah? And so it makes me wonder, Dennis, if you don't anticipate His coming as Simon, if you're not excited, if you don't wake up every morning expecting your King to come, expecting that trumpet to blow, expecting the eastern sky to split. Dennis, if you're not in love with Him and in tune with Him to that anticipation of Simeon, the elder, and the story of Christ who looked in every face expecting to see the child and never gave up as he walked the streets of Jerusalem and he went to the temple and he said, maybe today He's coming back. Then I wonder how many are going to miss the second coming. The world was full of people who just didn't accept. Am I right? The world is full of people by the millions, by the billions, who will not accept. We have to tell the message. We have to tell the story. We have to send the message of Jesus out there. And He came by the Spirit in verse 27. And He came by the Spirit into the temple. And I like this phrase. And He came by the Spirit. Simeon apparently had no plans to go to the temple. God, however, thought otherwise. We don't know how the prompting came. A call from a neighbor, an invitation from his wife, a nudging within the heart. We don't know. Somehow Simeon knew to clear his calendar, put away the golf clubs, tell his wife, I've got to go to the temple. Don't ask questions. I'm just going. How many of you are so filled with the Spirit that you don't know why sometimes you just pick up the phone? Or you're praying, and God lays someone on your heart and you just say, I've got to respond. That's the way we should. And then if you're like me, oh, I'm too busy, and you miss great opportunities. And I'm learning now, when God lays someone on your heart, just do it. Just do it. Because that's being filled with the Spirit. And we need to stay so clean and close to God, to Christ our Savior, that we respond like that and we have the Spirit in us. We understand the prompting, whether Simeon understood or not. We don't know. We do know that this wasn't the first time God tapped him on the shoulder. At least one other time in his life he had received a message from God. Do you live close enough to God, as I've already asked you, that you know when God taps you on the shoulder and says, big boy, I need to use you. I need to use you now, and just go. I think we need to examine our lives. And we need to make sure that our lives are so in tune. Our lives are so in tune that we are ready. I know this past week I had a situation. Someone called me and said, so-and-so is sick and they're going to have surgery and this doesn't look good and what are we going to do? Why'd you call me? No, I didn't say it sarcastically, but I said, well, did you call me just to tell me, or did you call me so that we can pray? Tap on God's throne. Well, maybe that's why. And the response, maybe that's why I called. Well, let's pray. Right now. God is not limited by telephones, is he? But we need to live such lives so close that when he comes by the Spirit, that Dennis Spirit responds to his coming, as Simeon did. And then I often wonder what a message like that would do to us. What does it do to you if you know that someday you're going to see God? We know what it did to Simeon. What about the promise to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord? What about that promise, Dennis, when you're driving down the road and your thoughts are going wild, Dennis, and your body is lusting for something and you're trying to get control of your mind? What does Dennis do? That's the only one I can answer for. That car might pull out in front of me and take me, snuff me out that fast. The next breath I may be in Christ, I may be standing before my Savior. I can't live like that. Can you? No. So therefore, the anticipation. Do you see how that anticipation will help us become stronger, or a stronger soldier of the cross? To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord for his children. And if you're his child and I'm his child, and I have a conflict with someone, I need to settle it now, because I don't know if I'm going to make it home, much less if I'm going to have an opportunity to see them again. So therefore, we should live with anticipation. He may come this second. He may come right now. And Dennis, you old buzzo, you just don't have time to put things to the side. You only have time to stay holy and reverent and clean and close, because you may go out that fast. The anticipation. We need to get serious about the things of God. He was constantly expecting the Messiah. We find that in verse 25. He was living in expectation of the salvation of Israel. He watched and waited for the restoration of Israel. Simeon was a man on tiptoe, wide-eyed, watching for the one who will come to save Israel. He was promised by God. He held to the promise, trusting God to fulfill the promise on God's terms, conditions, and time. What promises do we have? Are they etched in your heart? Are they front and center in your life? You know, and sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just get a thrill of when I can't sleep good at night or I've got something on my mind, I just try to block everything out and start telling the devil, these are the promises, you old heathen. Get out of my life. Did you know he said he'll never leave me or forsake me? Did you know that he's building a mansion for me? Did you know he's coming back for me? Did you know that he wrote a special name? I've got a nickname and he's got that in his hand. Isn't that great? Did you know that when death comes, is simply a shadow? Did you know that he's going to walk me to the other side? He's not going to send angels. He's going to do it. Did you know that he died for me? Did you know that he died for me before me was me? Hey, come on. All these promises. And then we kind of walk around like we're defeated, like, oh my, Merry Christmas. No, Merry Christmas. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you what Christmas is. Christmas is God said, I love you this much. And you don't understand my love, Dennis. And because you don't understand my love, Dennis, I've got to come down so I can be one of you and let you know that I've experienced everything you've experienced. I know what it's like to be hungry. I know what it's like to wet diapers. I know what it's like to be tempted. I know what it's like to burp, Dennis. I know all of that. But Dennis, I love you this much and you still don't understand my love, so I'm going to take all your sins to the cross. And I'm going to take all of your sins where you need to go, and that's Hades, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take the sting out of death. And Dennis, I love you that much. And Dennis still doesn't understand it. But Merry Christmas, Dennis. Isn't that great? That's the kind of God we have. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that we should anticipate spending all eternity with. So therefore, and I'm about out of time again, and we've got to check on Tebow. Anyway, you can tell where my mind is, can't you? The promise that he had driven him for so much of his life had been fulfilled. The promise that Simeon knew that he would live to see, that he would live to see the Savior. The demarcation in history, after centuries of waiting, a signal was given. Simeon's life would serve as a line of demarcation in history. If he died, Messiah was alive somewhere on planet Earth. That was basically the promise. Wow. Simeon would not just live until Messiah arrived. He would personally see the promised one. So Simeon spent his days in the temple waiting this promise and living in anticipation of the moment he would see the Messiah of Israel. The promise that had driven him for so much of his life had been fulfilled. Messiah had arrived. He was actually holding the child, the Christ, in his arms. He was looking in the face of God. And we find in verses 28 and 29, Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Wow. He was faithful to the end with the promise, and look at the reward. Look at the reward. One look into the face of Jesus and Simeon knew the hope of his life had been fulfilled. One look in the face of our Savior and we'll know the same. Simeon could be described at this point as watchman who could leave as a signpost because the one for whom he had been watching had come. Are you the watchman for the return of our Savior and Lord? Do we watch the eastern sky? Do we anticipate every day? Are we watchmen that God can say, I can depend on that Dennis, he is still looking. And because of that, I'm going to reward him. Can you be a watchman for the second coming? Can you be a watchman so determined that you're going to look in every face and say, do you know what Christmas is about? Let me tell you, Christmas is about, and he's coming back for me. Can he come back for you? Can he write that name in his palm? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or is your name written in the books? I had that discussion about 2 weeks ago. Someone said, Dennis, it says the book and the books. Yeah, I said, which one are you? Where's your name? What are you talking about? Where's your name? Is your name in the book or the books? But there's so many people, it's got to be the books. I said, no, that's not what God's Word says. So we had a good discussion about the books. Let me ask you, where's your name? I trust this Christmas you know without a shadow of a doubt where your name is written and that your name is written in the book. So the great prophecy that Simeon gave Mary, and I like this in closing. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. The great prophecy reminds us that the Christmas story, the joyous, glorious birth of a Savior, was only part of the process by which he would save the world. The first steps of the journey brought the most profound joy and happiness, but the final steps would be fulfilled as Mary stood at the foot of the cross, watching with tear-stained eyes and broken heart as her son, the Holy One of Israel, paid for the sins of the world, paid for Dennis's sins, paid for your sins. Simeon's bad news for Mary was a bitter pill, for the suffering of her son would cut like a sword to the very depths of her soul. The pain of labor by which she conceived him at his birth would be mirrored by the pain she would experience in releasing him to a sacrificial death. That was because of the love that God has for you and for myself. And then, where do you find yourself today in this situation, in this story? Is He first in your life, and will He take care of everything for you? Do you know that? Do you hold that promise? Do you have that anticipation? And then in closing, with Anna. Anna's love for God was a driving force in her life. She had known sorrow, but she had not grown bitter. She was old, but she had never ceased to hope. She never ceased to worship. She never ceased to pray. In a life situation that would have driven her from God, Anna allowed her heart to be drawn to God. Her years of faithfulness were rewarded, for she was in her customary place and maintaining her consistent priorities of worship, prayer, and fasting. Anna, prepared by decades of spiritual devotion, was in the right place at precisely the right time, and God rewarded her and blessed her for her faithfulness to Him. Anna's years of faithfulness had been rewarded in a moment of celebration in the right place at the right time, not by accident, but as a reward for her faithfulness to a holy God. Anna was one of the godly remnant in Israel who through centuries, even the darkest days before Christ came, looked for the day spring from on high. And I like that. Anna never gave up. Anna believed that God would send a Redeemer. Anna believed that God had His plan and she wanted to be part of it. Anna shared the good news boldly. Her good news was redemption has come. And Anna's message of hope, joy, and freedom came after decades of anticipation, the coming of the Redeemer King. She now found herself living in a world where this Christ had finally come. The promise had been fulfilled. So she gave thanks and went out to tell anyone who would listen that freedom and forgiveness and redemption were now available, for Christ had come. The first Christmas happened because our sin demanded payment, and only Christ Himself could make a payment sufficient to cancel our sin debt. The holy day of Christmas is really about a rescue and redemption. Anna knew that, and she told her world, at the time, may we be willing to make part of our celebration of the birth of Christ a commitment to tell our world as well, for the world needs to know. His coming was the earthly beginning of a mission that had been launched, and I like this. It was a mission launched by God in eternity, a mission of rescue for a lost race of people, which included me, and He accomplished the mission fully in 1 Corinthians 15:34, where we read 15:3-4, where we read these words, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." And I prefer, these are love letters, put your name there. "For Christ died for Dennis's sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." A rescue, a mission to redeem a lost people. For those who by faith acknowledge their sin and acceptance of forgiveness that Christ's cross and resurrection have purchased, a new anticipation has begun, and it's the anticipation of eternal life. A strong anticipation rooted in the God who promised to deliver and sent Him. A strong anticipation rooted in the God who promises forgiveness and provides it. A strong anticipation rooted in the God who promises an eternal home to all who put their faith in His Son, and His Son's name is Jesus. What have you done with the first gift on the first Christmas that was laid in a manger with your name on the gift? What have you done with Jesus? Awaiting the promise, living in anticipation, do you know He loves you and He's coming back for you? And if you do, then you will tell someone about Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You. May we not be the same when we walked in as when we walk out as when we walked in. May we take these words and apply them to our heart. God, I ask forgiveness for myself and for everyone within the sound of my voice that we don't anticipate, that sometimes we throw in the towel, that sometimes we don't stay diligent about our walk with You. But Heavenly Father, may that change this year. May we be determined, Heavenly Father. May we live every day anticipating that He's coming back for us one way or the other. May we live every day realizing that the price has been paid. Dennis has no rights, Heavenly Father. They all belong to You, and anything good in Dennis's life should be thrown up to Christ, because that's all that it's about, is Jesus Christ. We love you. We thank you. And work in lives, work in hearts, work in my heart, Heavenly Father, in ways that you've never done before, so that we anticipate the second coming as Simeon was, and that we are as devoted as Anna was against all odds, Heavenly Father, because we are a blessed people and you're coming back for us, and we love you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.